This is the Recency Bias, your morning after mini-pod, with me, Zach Vanoss, managing editor, rabbithabs.com, and your host, co-host of the Big Pod, Montreal Bias, which, as I've been hinting at recently, and as Sean noted on the last episode of the Big Pod, we'll look to bring you on around the All-Star game. And guess what? Canadians just played their last game before the All-Star break, and then their bye week. Taking on the Arizona Coyotes, Alex Galchenyuk making his return to the Bell Center on Wednesday evening. Arizona have had a packed schedule as of late. Coming into the game, having played three games in four nights. Well, this was the third game in four nights. They beat Toronto on Sunday night and then Ottawa on Tuesday. So Arizona playing some decent hockey coming into the contest. However, your Canadians are the winners in this one. 2-1. Some tight calls. You got to hand it to the Coyotes. They played a solid game considering all the hockey they've been playing as of late. Picking up points on a East Coast road trip, and if it wasn't for about half an inch of ice, they would have at least come away with 1 point in this one, I think. But no, Canadians 2-1 winners. Jonathan Drouin scoring in this one, as did Riley. Drouin getting his 14th on the season. Mike Riley adding number 3. Yes, the return, as I say, of Alex Galchenyuk to the Bell Center. Galchenyuk and Gallagher had a funny little moment in the early going. An encounter as they both skated back to the bench. Of course, those two, the Galley boys, good friends from the Montreal days. They had a bit of an exchange. And it was the Montreal Canadiens jumping out to the lead in the first. Guess what? It was the power play. The power play. I know. You know, what's the old saying? Even a blind squirrel. That's what it is. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Is that true? I don't know. I feel like we don't have any scientific evidence to back that up. I feel like it's a tough go out there for blind squirrels. That's all I'm saying. But the blind squirrel that is the Montreal Canadiens power play, they did find that nut. Just let Shea Weber shoot, man. Let Shea Weber shoot, find a way to clear that lane. Good things happen. Good things happen all night when Shea Weber was taking slap shots at the net, even when he was missing, or particularly when he was missing by a little. The bounce off the boards, that puck was coming out and creating some really golden opportunities for the Canadiens all night. Though the only one they were able to take advantage of was this one on the power play, Jonathan Drouin. Basically a gift for him to score that, put the Canadiens up 1-0 in the first. And while the power play is the blind nut that managed to... The blind squirrel that managed to find the nut, Victor Mete still searching for his first NHL goal. Man, he's never going to get one. Just never going to get one. He had an incredible chance at like 5 minutes into the second. And somehow, Arizona goalie Picard kept his skate in front of it, kept it out. And once again, everyone had a good laugh at Victor Mete not being able to score. Carey Price saying after the game, he'll get one eventually. He's getting good looks. And as TSN's John Liu notes, then he smirked and said, maybe. Tough going for Victor Mete. Just can't find it. Meanwhile, not so tough going for Yoel Armia. He had an incredible game in this one. Didn't score. But he was named first star, and he was everywhere. He looked super powered on Wednesday night. And just doing great things on the penalty kill, even created some scoring chances while they were killing a penalty. From the jump, he was great. But really, his shift of the night was a penalty kill in the second period. He was just magical. Yoel Armia, it's been a nice little find, Armia, considering we took on the Mason contract from Winnipeg and got some other things with the Yoel Armia package. Not so bad. Might be something that Marc Bergevin wants to keep in mind as we approach the trade deadline. As you know, perhaps if, with all the cap space that the Canadiens have, they need to take an ugly contract and people want to throw in things like useful wingers and draft picks, we won't say no. The second would not end without Arizona pulling even. Montreal on the penalty kill, and Shea Weber breaks his stick. He takes Lehkonen's, and when Lehkonen goes off to get another stick, which is a play I like to see happen, rather than the guy skate around with no stick, creates kind of a 5-on-3 scenario for the Oats. They bury it, we're even at 1. However, into the third, Jeff Petrie doing his rover thing where he, you know, skates it through the entire Coyotes zone. And he finds Riley for a slapper at the point. Not a super hard slap from Riley, but it found its way. The Canadiens up 2-1, but the return of Chucky. We're all tied 2-2, or are we, as an Arizona power play expires? Because Claude Julien challenges. And it's offside, no goal, and everybody watching on TV for the replay, very confused about this one at first, because the replay we were seeing of the zone entry on the team, there was absolutely no doubt that they were completely onside. And then they go down to the ref, and the ref says, we have no goal, and everyone's scratching their head until they picked up on, oh, it wasn't on the zone entry. It was on a puck pass back to the blue line that skidded just a little bit past back into the neutral zone. And that was enough. The goal does not count. And as I tweeted from the Montreal Bias account on Wednesday, as it happened, Montreal coaches just continue to keep old Alex Galchenyuk down. I feel bad for Galchenyuk on that one. That would have been nice for him. But alas, better for the Canadiens. Well done, by the way, whichever member of the Habs coaching staff caught that one. Good on them. Habs just kind of held off the Coyotes the rest of the way. Tip the hat, as I say, though, to the Coyotes. They continue to push, and considering all the games that they've played recently, and the Montreal have been off for a little while, surprised they still had the legs left. They really wanted that one, and got close to it. Speaking of John Liu, TSN, he also tweeted yesterday one that I thought was interesting, that the Canadiens are apparently going to be grooming Kotkaniemi for that slap shot from the dot on the power play. They said they're going to be working that in from him, so that's something just to watch as we go forward. Decided maybe the kid's slapper could be a great power play tool. Also a great power play tool, the Shea Weber slap shot, just saying. Carey Price, he's great again. He goes 30 for 31 on the night, 968 save percentage. He looked solid in himself. On the season, he's now 2.6 goals against average and 914 save percentage. Those numbers, much return to respectability. Lots of respect for Carey Price around the league once more. It seems like he's back to full force. Now lots of time off. Good old lengthy break for the Habs. They say they've headed into the All-Star break with no All-Stars. I mean, Carey Price officially selected, but as we well know, he is not going to the All-Star game now. So Canadians will return to action Groundhog Day, February 2nd in the afternoon, because it's Super Bowl weekend. So they got a pair of games Super Bowl weekend. Saturday, 2 o'clock, New Jersey. I've been to the afternoon New Jersey game before at the Bell Center. It's the worst game of the year. Maybe, I think this was still back in the day when Marty Brodeur was still a thing, but I'm just saying. My recollection of New Jersey on an afternoon, a Super Bowl weekend, is usually a real boring game. But hey, maybe it'll be exciting. The guys will be back from a long break. They'll be ready to go. And then before the Super Bowl, Edmonton, Connor McDavid, and the now Peter Chiarelli-less Edmonton Oilers will be at the Bell Center. A lot of home games coming up when the Habs do return in February. A five-game homestand to get it going. But that's a few weeks away. As for now, the Canadians have put themselves in a very nice position. To head into the All-Star break, they are officially third in the Atlantic. They have played more games than anyone else in the entire Eastern Conference except for Detroit. Habs have played 51. Some teams such as Buffalo have played as few as 48, so worth keeping in mind. All the same, with the win on Wednesday night, Canadians now have 61 points on the season, a 28-18-5. Let me say that again, 28-18-5 record for 61 points. That puts them 1 point back of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who did get a win on Wednesday.
Boo.
Leafs have two games in hand. The Boston Bruins, who've played 49 games, are 2 points back of the Habs and in that wild card spot at the moment. Also in a wild card spot, Pittsburgh Penguins, who have played 48 games and are at 58 points. On the outside now, Buffalo Sabres, 48 games they've played. They've got 54 points. So they're 4 points back of Pittsburgh for that final wild card spot. And a full 7 points back of the Canadiens. Same for the Carolina Hurricanes, who have played 50 games, one less than the Habs, but 7 points back. The Canadiens, look, they're not in this thing by any stretch, but what they've done through January really put themselves in a comfortable position. They're playing from a power position as they shoot into the unofficial second half of the season after the All-Star break. So, good stuff. You got to feel good if you're a Habs fan. This season has been pretty entertaining. Every time you think maybe this team's about to take a step back, they keep pushing forward. I was really happy that they pulled those 2 points out Wednesday night against Arizona. Really, really crucial. Not crucial. Really, if you want to feel great going into the break, you've really padded your lead. You get to, they'll get to enjoy themselves the next 10 days or so. Recharge and head into the home stretch. The final 30-ish games to go on the other side. And maybe a playoff berth waiting for your Montreal Canadiens. Unexpected, but well-earned so far. That's all. Find me on Twitter at ZachDropsTweets, at the Montreal Bias for this podcast. And, of course, at RabbitHabs, our fantastic deputy editor and co-host of the Nosebleeds podcast, part of the RabbitHabs podcast network. He runs that account during the games. Great conversation going on there. If you're not following that, but you listen to this podcast, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. That'll do us until, a new episode of the Montreal Bias Big Pod comes your way. Take care.